This is ESPN 97.5, brought to you by Zadok Jewelers.
It's pretty dope.
The absolute best choice.
KFNC, Mont Bellevue, Houston.
Hi, I'm Mark Hughes, Stoke City manager, and you're listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN.
All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5, brought to you by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. A big thank you to John and his firm. They are the presenting sponsors of this show. You hear me talk about them a lot, but they get soccer on the airwaves. So if you love this show, like I know there's a good group of people out there who do, and you follow this on the podcast at podcastarena.com, or right now you might be over on Facebook Soccer Matters and typing in a comment. Well, John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm deserves our support. 713-322-HURT. 24/7, nights and weekends, they're going to work for you if you get in an accident, car, boat, or motorcycle. John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm, they are our presenting sponsors. Nebo Bandovic is the former leading scorer for the Houston Hotshots. He wants to invite you to start your journey to financial freedom through real estate investing. Now, after he finished his career, remember, he was on the Houston Hotshots here in Houston. Nebo went on to build a real estate investing empire with multi-million dollar portfolio, and he wants to teach you how to do the same. So you follow Nebo at Nebo Bandovic, B-A-N-D-O-V-I-C, on Instagram for daily investment tips, secrets, and more information on how to be mentored by the master himself through his VIP program. At Nebo, B-A-N-D-O-V-I-C, Bandovic, on Instagram. And our next interview is with Nebo Bandovic, and it starts off with us talking about him growing up in the country of Montenegro after the breakup of Yugoslavia.
So, Nebo, the first obvious question is, what was it like growing up in Montenegro, a country where soccer is the priority?
Well, Montenegro, a small country, but, you know, Montenegro in that time was part of ex-Yugoslavia. And, you know, I grew up, you know, in a small city called Niksic, but I would say soccer city because it was, you know, soccer was everything in there. I grew up in a house in the center of city, and I was born in that house, and we didn't have a lot of money, and basically we was living five of us in one room in that house. But you know, my parents really was great for me and my brother, and that city was really in my heart because it's really good city to grow up for young boy or young man, and I always have great memories there. But you know, life goes on, and right now, you know, I'm here, but I have great memories growing up there, and I really appreciate everything, you know, what my parents did there, and I still have a lot of, you know, family and friends, and I love to go there, you know, for visit.
We're talking to Nebo Bandovic, the former Houston Hotshot, NB Elite Realty, a great post-soccer career for you, and we'll talk to you a little bit about that at the backside of the interview. But I want to continue on in Montenegro because, you know, look, you were a part of youth development here in this country when it comes to soccer. You've worked with hundreds and hundreds of youth soccer players. Growing up in your country, just remind my audience how organized it was and how much of it was really free play on the streets and with your friends.
Well, it's a big difference because in Europe, especially in a smaller city back then, because back then we did not have Xbox and all this technology we have now, but back then soccer was life. You know, you come out of your house and everybody's playing in the street and everybody's playing in a school, and it was a lot more connections between young populations because it was, you know, it was just not too many things to do. And from that standpoint, it was very good for development because you play all the time. You play street soccer, you play small side of games, and that's how you get your touch. Get your touch there, not from being trained by the professional. So what else is a big difference is in the States, in the youth level, you have so many youth clubs, and they do not belong to the professional teams. And they are individual clubs in a different area of city. For example, in Houston, you have so many different clubs in a different parts, right? So in Europe, even today, there is a professional clubs and teams, and they have their youth teams in different age groups. So in America is so many more players play organized soccer versus Europe. And a second huge difference is girls playing in United States so much more in a youth level. In Europe, very, very limited. So those are the difference. But even now in Europe, there is more young kids watching technology than used to, you know. So that's a fact.
Talking to Nebo Banjevic, the former Houston Hotshot striker, leading goal scorer in the history of the Hotshots. You saw him banging in goals at the summit. There were some good times there. We're going to get back to a little bit of Houston Hotshot talk in the future. But I want to just take you back to your time in Montenegro. So at what point do you become aligned with the professional team? Because it's obvious that your talent was spotted when you were young.
Well, I was 17 and a half, almost 18 years old. And in that time, I was on one of the top scorers in junior team in my hometown. And I was spotted by the Red Star Belgrade, which is one of the biggest clubs in ex-Yugoslavia. And after one big tournament where we played, when the different states in that time was Yugoslavia, but every state had a national team. So it was Montenegro versus Croatia versus Serbia versus Slovenia versus Macedonia. It was a tournament in one city in Croatia. During that tournament, Montenegro won, and I was the leading scorer of the tournament. And in that time, I had the players with me. One of my best friends, Dejan Savicevic, was playing with me. And Šabanađović, who used to play with Kansas City Attack, if you remember from Major League Soccer, he was also my teammate. We won that tournament. And right after the tournament, Red Star came with a car, with somebody from the club. And they just took me from there to Belgrade to sign with the Red Star. So I didn't even go back home. So I signed with the Red Star contract. I was not even 18 years old. And it was noticed in old Yugoslavian newspaper that I signed with them. It was like a dream come true.
Wow,
because
what a moment.
Yes. So Red Star is in ex-Yugoslavia was like a New York Mets or Los Angeles Lakers, our Rockets, you know. So,
of course. So monster club and yes, so many famous players. Yeah.
And they won, as you know, 1992, they won the European Champions League.
Of course. So Nebo Banjevic joining us, former Houston Hotshot. And as you noticed there, just as an 18-year-old signed with Red Star Belgrade. You and I have always talked because your career in the United States was in the indoor game. And you used to tell me, but I was a better outdoor player. Tell me a little bit about that and how you adapted your game to the indoor game, because it's almost a different sport, as we all know.
Yes. Well, I always thought that in my heart, there was always a little bit of sadness that why I did not play in Europe, because everybody in ex-Yugoslavia, even today, if you ask people who remember me in football and soccer, they would say, wow, you know, too bad he did not play in Europe, because newspapers and general public and people in the clubs, they thought I could have a career even in a big European club. But you know, my agent took me in the States when I was young. I fell in love with America. I ended up playing indoor soccer. I adapted well because, you know, I also had a good skill, I thought. But you know, my main thing was speed and scoring the goals. I loved indoor game. And I loved way, like, you know, the crowd, the music and everything. And you know, it really took me by, you know, I'm not going to say by surprise, but it really made the lot of emotions, you know, in me. And you know, I thought I adapted well. However, as you know, fast players and players who are very fast, they need a little more space. And you know, my specialty was counter attack when we, you know, was defending, because I could go and have and score goals in a counter attack through the space. So I thought I adapted well, but I could always, you know, I could always be outdoor player. So
Nebo Banjevic joining us, Houston Hotshots. So I got my start on radio and TV calling your games back then. And I always thought, wow, this guy was a great personality because not only was he a goal scorer, but there was a lot of emotion in him. And there was a real healthy confidence in you. And if you scored one goal, you wanted two, three, four. You were pretty insatiable when it came to scoring goals. How much of a goal scorer's mentality has to come around the fact that you just want to put a ball in the back of the net?
Well, it's a special feeling, and it's and since in my days when I was a child, I always was, you know, up front and always was trying to score the goals and hit the ball in that corners, especially playing the streets, you know, in the street in a small goals, you know, you improvise the goals. You make posts from wood, from metal, and you're just trying to hit those corners. And that's how you get that feeling to score goals. So it's a special feeling. And I mean, to be honest, you can give 10 assists, but goal is a goal. And you know, it's very hard to explain the feeling in the words, how you feel, you know, after scoring the goals, you know.
Nebo Banovich joining us, former Houston hotshot, also played for the St. Louis Steamers back in the MISL. And I mean, those crowds were packed in St. Louis. 94 to 97, the Houston Hotshots were in the CISL. 96 and 97 got to the championship game twice, Nebo, just to fall short. Your coach was Trevor Dawkins at the time. What was your relationship like with Trevor Dawkins? Because people in Houston will remember Trevor.
Very, very good guy, English guy, very straight, you know, straightforward, strict in a way, you know, but you know, good coach. He knew the game well, and you know, we was in the finals, and you know, I still remember the game in the finals. The summit was sold out. It was 17,000-18,000 people. We played with Monterrey. Montelero Raza, our big rival, and it was amazing experience, you know.
Those were great games, and a lot of people still remember those games. Think about the summit sold out, and La Raza had a great indoor team. The Hot Shots did as well. Those were some exciting moments. I mean, to see those crowds in the summit in those days was pretty amazing because. Yeah, you know, when the team first started off and it was an expansion team, there weren't that many people going to the game. So it was a great ascent. And, you know, your owner, Giorgio Berlanghi and company, really kind of built this thing, acquired a few more players, and you guys were in two finals. What's the most memorable moment with the Hotshots during those finals with La Raza for you?
Well, it was that you know, the feeling you are in the finals, it's sold out. I mean, it was unforgettable experience because the fans was in, on the game. They was in, and it was you know, cheering up, and I mean, I have to say that was one of the most exciting games I played for Hot Shots. And also we had a big rivalry with Sidekicks, which was one of the best teams ever. Mm-hmm. But definitely game against La Raza, it was you know, the game you will always remember. I remember after the game we lost, and then the people, friends and family came down. You know, some of the players was crying, you know, and they came down to give us support because we give our hearts out, and we were short. And I remember one thing, okay? I don't know, do you remember? But before that, I was not feeling well. I missed probably a couple games before that because I was injured. But I worked very hard, and I didn't even know though I'm going to play. But I wanted to play. I didn't want to miss that game. And Trevor decided to put me on, and I did score one goal. And I think I did score one goal. It was really amazing game. You always remember, you know.
It was kind of U.S. against Mexico in a way, right?
Yes.
That's the other great part about it.
It was
U.S. against Mexico, and the Raza was a great draw.
Yes. And you had some, you know, Mexican fans in Houston who was Absolutely. Cheering for La Raza. So it was an international game, you know.
Yeah, it was fantastic. 96-97, back-to-back championship finals. Trevor Dawkins the coach of that team. We're talking to Nebo Vanovic. You know, I want to talk to you about youth soccer and youth soccer development, because you ran the West University Club for a long time. And I had seen many of my friends who were from foreign countries come here, very talented and knowledgeable soccer people, but they weren't a success because they didn't know how to adapt their thinking and their culture when it came to soccer to the American culture, which is very different when you're coaching youth soccer players. How did you accomplish that?
Well, I take everything seriously, whether is a sport, whether it's a business. So when I was player with Hot Shots, I started the, academy, and I got affiliated with West University Club, and I started doing my camps and clinics, and I had one of the largest soccer academy in Texas. I had in one time 33 trainers was working for me. And basically I kind of adapt in a way that I was able to put sports and business together. But I never forget that was most important. It was most important to provide the best service and training, education to the children, and to be a role model for them. And that was all about, and that was the most important to me. So when you come from Europe, like in South America, you have one way of thinking, but you in the States is a little bit different. So you have to adapt, especially your way of thinking from business standpoint and from soccer standpoint. You gotta give them the best to help the players to develop the players, because they are young players. They want to come to the next level. You want to be able to help them.
Talking to Nebo Vanovic, a longtime Houstonian, now living.
Right, so that was part one of Nebo Vanovic. We will continue on here, Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. And interesting stuff there, because, you know, a lot of professional athletes, including teammates of mine, some have had more successful careers than others when it's over, and are really able to move on and focus on something else, which is always a pretty interesting thing to check out. All right, show is brought to you by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. Also, NB Elite Realty, and you're hearing the interview with Nebo Vanovic right now. We're going to come back with part two of Nebo Vanovic, formerly of the Houston Hotshots here. This is our Houston soccer history update with Nebo Vanovic. More to come.
Of doubt and remorse, assail him, impale him with monster truck force. In his mind, he's still driving, still making...
My name is Stephen A. Smith, and you're listening to 98.7.
Wait, what?
I said 98.7, that's my show.
Let's try this one more time, okay?
My name is Stephen A. Smith, and you're listening to 97.5 FM.
Hello, people. This is Alexi Lawless, and you are listening to Soccer Matters with Glenn Davis on ESPN.
Everyone played well, but Pierre-Emerick, we have to mention Aubameyang, because he delivers again, two in the semi, two in the final. He's a remarkable goal scorer.
Incredible. This is an incredible season again. We're demanding a lot of work, because at the moment we need that in the team more than anything else, and we expect the top players to turn up on these big games, and he's done it twice, and he helped us massively to win the title.
And is he a player that you want to build this team around? Because everyone's discussing his future.
Absolutely,
and he wasn't
yes.
too happy to discuss
I
it himself.
I am very positive. I had a conversation with him. I think he wants to stay, so let's try to get it done, and we can have over for a few more years.
FA Cup winners, Arsenal, and wonderful for them. That was the manager, Mikel Arteta. What a job he has done. I mean, to step into that environment and take this team and put them into this position and now be able to go back to Stan Kroenke and demand some more resources, pretty amazing. And it also allows you to keep Aubameyang, because you've had that success winning that FA Cup. All right, Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5. As we come back from commercial break, brought to you by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. We continue our interview with NB Elite Realty's Nebo Vanovic.
Talking to Nebo Vanovic, a longtime Houstonian, now living in Miami, Florida, very successful in the real estate business. Was a great indoor soccer player, banging in goals left and right in the MISL, CISL, St. Louis Steamers, also for the Houston Hotshots. Okay, you mentioned something there that was interesting, Nebo, because you talked about the staff that you had underneath you. And you have the same thing in your post career, which is real estate. You've been very, very successful in real estate with NB Elite Realty. I want you to tell me, how did you apply? Like, you and I have had teammates in our careers that had great soccer careers, that were tremendous soccer players. But in our minds, we might look at them and say, their second career didn't turn out to be as successful. You almost feel a little bit bad that there wasn't more accomplished in the secondary career. How did you accomplish that? How did you put soccer behind you and really now take the great things you learned from sports and your discipline and all that and put it into the real estate industry?
Well, planning, short-term goals and long-term goals. My short-term goals was to establish business what's going to grow, and one day the business will create a financial freedom for me that I can live my American dream. And I work very hard to get that goal. Before I even I was still a player with Houston Hotshots and running academy and West University soccer, having all those trainers working for me, I start investing in real estate. As a real estate investor, I was really aggressive to build my real estate portfolio, what's going to create passive income later on in my life. I also was very lucky. When I signed with St. Louis Steamers, I was young. I was only 20 years old. But I met Slobo Ilievski, who was a goalkeeper. And
great
he
goalkeeper.
Was great goalkeeper, one of the best in major indoor soccer.
Yes,
but great businessman. Great businessman. He was my mentor. Thanks to him, I live my American dream right now in Miami Beach. He's one who influenced me to guide me and says, Nebo, buy when you're young, buy in a great location, and one day real estate is going to appreciate. You're going to have a cash flow from your properties, and you can live the life you want. And that's what happened. I follow his advice, and here I am today.
Do you stay in touch with Slobo?
Slobo passed away, unfortunately.
Oh,
he passed away. He passed away several years ago. Basically, he lived in St. Louis. He made his financial freedom in real estate, and then he moved to San Diego. And then a few years in San Diego, he passed away. And he passed away in a soccer field. But what a great athlete and what a great person. And because everything I achieved as an investor, I owe to him. And everything what he said to me many years ago, everything came true.
Nebo Banovic, Houston Hotshots, NB Elite Realty. So, Nebo, we got about 2 minutes left. And what I want to ask you to do is now, first, I want to thank you for being a sponsor of Soccer Matters here on ESPN 97.5. And we welcome you and NB Elite Realty, into the fold here. And we thank you for that. So take 2 minutes and just describe what NB Elite Realty is and what your company does and how you lead that company.
Okay, so basically, as an investor, when I started, I built my portfolio to apartment complexes and commercial properties, and that's kind of I would say separate business as investor. But a few years before I moved to Miami, I started also real estate brokerage. I become real estate broker just for my own goods to be as an investor to help me to become more successful investor and to use my leverage for commission and other things. Then about 5 years ago, I started a real estate brokerage because some of my successful friends investors, they said, Nebo, can you sponsor us? Can we become your agents? So that's how it started. I opened the office in Houston in one of my properties in a great location in West Alabama Street. I built nice building, nice office. We started from there with few agents and then 5 agents, 20, 50, 100. Then we expanded to all Texas. We are in Dallas, San Antonio, Austin, El Paso. We cover every major city. Then 3 years ago, when I moved to Miami, I also got my license in Florida. And before COVID, I also registered company in New York. So right now we are in 3 states. I have approximately about 600 agents work for me. We have three brokers, and we are planning to expand to Chicago and Georgia and other states. So for me, this is my game right now, because, you know, I'm an athlete. I'm ex-athlete. I like, you know, compete. And it's fun. I meet a lot of people. I travel. And it's not like pressure that, well, you have to produce for money and all this. It's more like a pleasure, because you work with great people. You're helping people. I have 600 agents, and they're like a family to me. So it's really a good feeling that I can do that business and develop that business without pressure.
Nebo, give people where they can contact you and learn about your company, because my gut feeling tells me some people might want to learn a little bit more about this and get into real estate. It's a good opportunity.
Well, I was fortunate when I came to Miami that I'm not going to say coincidence, but basically I found a very good people to work for me. I have a few people what they work in my marketing team. And as you know, we live in a different world right now, when computer and social media are very, very important. So my marketing team makes many important posts, many tips regarding real estate. I'm also mentoring other people. Way Slobo mentor me in real estate. So the best way to contact us will be through my personal Instagram, Nebo Bandovic, and there. Many of my followers, if you follow me on Instagram, many of my followers can see many real estate tips and videos, how to succeed in real estate, how to become investor, how to achieve passive income. And my slogan is, financial freedom is possible. If I can do it, you can do it. Remember, I came to States 1985 with nothing, one bag, didn't even speak English, didn't even speak one word in English. And now I am here living my American dream, living in Miami Beach and the beach. And I want to pass my experience and knowledge, hopefully, in some other young people who can follow my footsteps.
Nebo, thank you very much for coming on Soccer Matters ESPN 97.5 tonight. Best of luck to you and NB Elite Realty. We'll be talking about your program a lot on this show now in the next couple of months. So thank you for coming on board. And it's good for me to remind the Houston public that we have had all these great former professional soccer players go on to do wonderful things, like Nebo Bandovic. And by the way, his last name is spelled B-A-N-D. Go on, Nebo.
B-N-D-O-E-I-C. But remember, it was number 10, Nebo, because short. Yeah.
I liked it when it was Nebo better.
Yeah. Thank you, Glenn. Thank you for having the show. And it's really good to be a guest in Houston, because Houston was amazing to me. It's the best city. Great people, great place for business. That's what I say to everybody, the best place for business, you know. So guys, go for it.
We'll talk to you soon, Nebo. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you.
You know, I absolutely love that from Nebo Bandovic, how great Houston was to him. Same thing for me. I came here in 1984 with one bag to play professional soccer. And I will never forget how the city of Houston and the people treated me. Let's treat each other well. We need to do that. Let's not buy into all this people dividing us. Love that from Nebo Bandovic. Good stuff there. That's Houston soccer history. We'll take a break. We come back. Kyrie Shelton of Sporting Kansas City joins us.
And see the world hanging upside down. You can
At ESPN 97.5, we wear Boomer Naturals masks. Order now at BoomerNaturals.com and use promo code ESPN Houston for 20% off.
I'm Vlad Kendanovsky, the coach of U.S. Women National Team, and you're listening to Soccer Matters with Glenn Davis.
Man, the stars are out tonight. You know what? I love Vlatko Andonovsky. By the way, he was at every game out there at the NWSL Challenge Cup, so man was working. Just a great down-to-earth guy. And, you know, you look at his career and how he's gotten here, and you can't not respect how he got to being the U.S. Women's National Team coach. All right, Hugh O'Connor, 7620 Katy Freeway, Marquee Entertainment Center. 18 big screens, Houston Liverpool supporters group out there. So we thank Hugh O'Connors for their sponsorship. All right, time now. Kyrie Shelton, Sporting Kansas City striker.
Well, Kyrie, let's just start off with some of your influences in your career. Who are some of the people that really influenced you when it came to the sport of soccer?
There was, you know, I had my parents, both my father and my mother were big influences in my career, and my younger siblings. They also were. They pushed me and were there to support me, game in, game out, even outside of football. They were there to support me and be my biggest fans.
Kyrie Shelton joining us of Sporting Kansas City. Now, you told me, and I've read, that your father, a very big influence in your life, a military man with the Army. Tell me a little bit about your dad.
Yeah, very, very determined, very strong, very loving father I have. Served 22 years in the Army, which is a very, very long time to serve. Just looking back, it's amazing, and I'm so thankful to have a father that I have had and continue to have. He's the best, and over the last, I would say, 5-6 years, he's become my best friend, because our relationship has changed over time as I've gotten older. He's become more of a, not so much as a father figure, but more as a friend or a best friend, I would say. But the relationship is very special to me, and you know, we talk every day, and still able to push me in different parts of my life, but also he's still there to support me.
Talking to Kyrie Shelton of Sporting Kansas City, do you remember the moment that you fell in love with soccer? Was it watching a game? Was it a coach? Do you remember a singular moment that really just said to Kyrie Shelton that this is my game?
Great question. I remember it was when I was in Germany. My mom had set me up for this rec league, had signed me up for a recreation league. And I remember we were at the fields, and I was wearing my outfit. It happened to be like a yellow t-shirt. The shorts were red and yellow, and I had yellow socks. And I think, you know, there was a moment where I really, like, I scored a goal, and I saw the reward from that. And I was about probably 4 or 5 at this time. And when I saw the reward, and just, you know, from scoring a goal, and, you know, just being out there, I think that's the moment I knew. I have a little story too. Like, later on, I was in school and my teacher did a time capsule. I think it was 3 or 4 years later down the road. My teacher had me do a time capsule of what I wanted to be when I grew up. And in this time capsule, she had us write write what we wanted to be on a piece of paper. And, you know, she said she would send it back to us when we were done with high school. And, I ended up getting it back in the mail. And it so happened to be on paper that I wrote down I wanted to be a professional soccer player.
Unbelievable. What a great thing your teacher did, too.
Oh, yeah, amazing.
That took an effort to do that with all our students. That's awesome. Kyrie Shelton joining us, Sporting Kansas City. Pac-12 Player of the Year at Oregon State. Also, the local Austin tie is you lived in Austin a number of years and played with Lone Star Soccer Club there, whom everybody knows. Then you become the number one draft pick for New York City FC, their first ever pick. What did that mean to you? Was that a little bit pressure-filled with all the star players around New York City FC and the launch of that team?
Yeah, it was, you know, looking back in the moment, I was just caught up in just tons of emotion. And I felt a lot of pressure being there. I just wanted to be able to showcase my ability and have it work out. But, you know, it's at the same time, I'm so thankful and glad that I had that experience because it's made me the player and person I am today. It wasn't easy by any means. Was definitely not easy, but it helped me grow. And I got to be a part of something that not a lot of players get to be a part of. And that's joining an expansion club and then, you know, playing with very, very successful, talented players that most people my age grew up watching on TV.
Yeah, the Pirlos, the Lampards.
Yes.
Diaz and,
oh, yeah.
What's the takeaway from playing with superstars of that magnitude? Did those three guys just basically by their presence and the way they handle things, did they organically teach you anything?
Yeah, and I mean, at first for me it was okay, like it was like I took a view of like, okay, and let me just sit back and kind of just observe. That's usually my first approach in everything I do. But then the next step was, okay, I need to interact and kind of try to pick their minds and see how they strike a ball, see, you know, the little things that most people wouldn't think about. I was trying to get into their head and try to see how they saw a soccer ball.
Yeah.
That was my next like mission. I kind of took upon myself. Spent quite a bit of time with David because he plays similar position as me, and we do shoot finishing and things of that nature together. Extra stuff like that. But all three are amazing people, and players. I mean, people have seen it for themselves. I don't need to really talk about how well they or how good they were as players. They're a fantastic people off the field.
Talking to Kyrie Shelton, Sporting Kansas City, now doing real well in MLS's back tournament. Patrick Vieira was your coach. He was getting his coaching career started, and I know you're a big Arsenal guy. So what was it like being coached by Patrick, and what type of coach was he? Take us a little bit into an area where the fan doesn't get and maybe some of the information that he might feed a really young, blossoming talent like Kyrie Shelton.
He's one of my favorite coaches that I've had in my soccer career. Very, very passionate, and he has a lot of information that he was able to bring into my game, and a lot of just soccer knowledge, because he has played at the top level and was one of the best players in his position at the top level for a long time. But he remained there even after playing, he was coaching. So, you know, he was able to help me develop as a player, and I got to also develop under him. And, you know, he was very hard on me. But it's something I'm thankful for. We didn't always see eye to eye because I was younger and, you know, I was in my own world at the time, and I wanted to be somebody I I wanted to be and not somebody he wanted me to be. So we didn't always see eye to eye, but at the same time, you know, I'm thankful for that, that experience. And, you know, he's a great coach. He knows what he's doing. He pushed me, and, you know, yeah, I can't say more than that. I'm just thankful.
So I know that story. When you're younger, you're a little more emotional. You're learning how to learn and listen. And at what point did you go, wow, why am I butting heads with this guy? This guy's helping me become a better player. Did that happen when you were at New York City FC, or did that happen a little bit later on?
It happened later on after my departure from New York City. Yeah, it happened after. It wasn't. There was a couple of instances where we just butt heads and then, you know, we left it there. But yeah, it wasn't until after I realized, I was like, geez, like I should have just continued to grind, keep my head down. That's the player I am. I am that person too. Like, I just put my head down. I don't say much. But with information I was given, and then it was a lot of information, and then trying to apply that to the field, it was a lot. And I'm an emotional player, and even though I don't show it a lot, I love this game so much, and I want to be the best I can be. It all got to me, and we ended up having a little feud, and yeah, I didn't realize it till after. It was just like, geez, I should have just kept doing what I was doing.
But the good news is, you know, when I look at your career at 27 years of age, and look, we're kidding ourselves if people don't think there isn't disappointment throughout someone's career. Disappointment is where you grow. I mean, you're so well-traveled at 27. It's pretty remarkable. You've played in Germany at Paderborn. You've been on a couple of different MLS teams. You went to college in the Pacific Northwest. You know, you're from a military family. You lived in a bunch of different places. You have to consider this a real asset now through your lens. And this has to be something that you have in your bag of tricks that other people don't when it comes to confidence.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
I mean, how many people can say they argued with Patrick Vieira? Not many.
Yeah, not too many. Not too many, I can tell you that. Yeah. But, yeah, definitely with everything that has gone on and throughout my life, definitely has put me in a very good position in terms of my career and being able to travel and being able to listen and learn and grow both on and off the field.
Kyrie Shelton joining us, Sporting Kansas City. All right, you're a threat behind defenses, exceptional in the air as well. You're going to get your goals in the air. The tricks and flicks, that's a part of your game you developed that I like watching your little tricks and flicks and flicking balls around people. And how did that develop in your game?
You know, it's something I've always, since I was young, I've always done. And I've definitely fine-tuned some of them. I used to do it more, I would say, when I was younger. But as I've gotten older, I realize I don't need to do it as much, and just use my speed, my strength, which are my strongest abilities to the max. So, you know, I don't use those tricks as much because it's not needed.
But you're a soccer player. You know, do you ever get tired of people just saying, oh, Kyrie Shelton, he can fly, he can run the channels. You know, you hear that over and over. But I think there's more to your game than just that.
Oh, yeah. I definitely – that's all I hear. And people are going to see what they want to see. That's totally allowed. But there's a lot more to my game than just speed and strength. I think my passing ability, my vision of the game is very strong. My knowledge of when to go and when to kind of keep the ball, just soccer knowledge. There's a lot of things that play into my game that people don't really take into consideration, but you know, that's not for me to tell them to pay attention to that. They see what they want to see.
Well, Kyrie, listen, you've been very generous with the time. I'm sure people in Austin are loving hearing this interview, and people around the country. Thank you so much for taking the time out. Continued success. Remarkable to see what a 27-year-old has done and all the experiences you've gone through. And I for some reason, I think the best of times are ahead of you as a soccer player. And that's saying a lot based on what you've already done. So thank you for being on the show.
Thank you so much, man.
All right. That's Kyrie Shelton.
That does it for tonight. Thank you for tuning in. PodcastArena.com for the podcast. iTunes, thanks to Aaron Rayburn. Thanks to Victor Ariza. Great job by those two guys as always. And a big thank you to our sponsors. Daspit Law Firm, our presenting sponsor, NB Elite Realty, Lustau Vermouth, and Hugh O'Connor's. Good night, everybody. Support our podcasts.
ESPN 97.5